originally in my notes, but this morning it was brought to my attention as I was going over my notes. We've been talking about, you can turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. For the most part, we've been doing a series and talking about my life as a tree and the fact that we are to bear fruit. And then we've been in Mark chapter 4 quite a bit, and we'll read some in there rather quickly today and then look at some other things. And, you know, I do this because the Scripture does this. I do this because that's the way it is in the Word of God. And in the Word of God, you got the parable of the mustard seed. When it gets sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the herbs in the plant garden and shoots out large branches. And just that phrase, my life is a tree to produce fruit, to provide shade and to provide blessing and that for other people. And that's what every believer ought to be doing. And then when you get back up in Mark a little bit four, talks about a garden spot, and you can see where we plant things. And we're going to do some planting in a garden today. But I found this verse of Scripture. What I do is I got my iPad, and I have it beside my bed, and I got a, you know, Bible on there, and some of them it'll read to you. Read the Bible to you. And I got this one, really like it, enjoy it. Fall asleep listening to the Bible, wake up in the middle of the night and have to start it over again and get it going, and wake up in the morning and start it and just listening to the Bible. And something caught my attention and I had to go look it up. But Matthew chapter 21, we're talking about bearing fruit. And this is in the midst where Jesus is dealing. You know, he gives us the parable of the wicked vine dressers. But something caught my attention in the vein that we're stopping at verse 43. I'm just kind of pulling this out of the setting here. It's still in the context. But he says, verse 43, Matthew 21. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Bearing the fruits of what? Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God. There were people that were not doing right with the word of God. They were not doing right with the calling that God had for their lives. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take that from you because you're not using it right. And I'm going to give it to others who will. But just notice this. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God. Everybody say the kingdom of God. So he's talking about the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about, the kingdom of God. Therefore, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and will be given to a nation bringing the fruits of it. Bearing the fruits of it. Bringing the fruits of what? The fruits of the kingdom of God. The fruits of the kingdom of heaven. How many of you know I'm going to be harping on this and harping on this, and that's okay? Because you know what? Don't we want to be bearing and bringing forth the fruits of the kingdom of heaven? That's what we're talking about. Because this world needs what we have. I say this, I'm not sure everybody always believes me, but it's true. What we do as believers in our lives is the most important thing that gets done on the face of this earth. It's more important than what secular politicians do in their politicking. Because what they're doing as politicians might not have anything to do with the kingdom of heaven. Now, there are some of them that are in politics, and they're there by God. They're placed there by God, and we're praying for them. And they're doing things for the kingdom of heaven. But I want you guys to know, as believers, what we do as believers on the face of this earth is the most important stuff that gets done in this earth. Because we have what this world needs. Amen? Glory to God. So we're going to be bearing fruit. We're going to be producing fruit. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, you old fruit producer, you. Amen. Oh, that's good. Hallelujah. Now just move a few pages. Move a few pages over to Mark. I want to read from Mark rather quickly. Rather quickly, and then we'll, just a reminder, a quick reminder for folks, and we might be referring back to it off and on throughout the day. Mark chapter 4, I'm just going to read verse 13 through 20 really fast, just as a reminder. Mark 4:13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, or the sower sows the kingdom." When you're sowing the word, you're sowing the seed of the kingdom. "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown, or where the kingdom is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so only endure for a time. Afterwards, when tribulations, persecution arise for the word's sake, they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, desires of other things, enter in and choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold." Okay? Talking about planting a garden in the last Sundays, we've been talking about that. And one of the things that you do when you plant a garden spot, one of the first things you do is you go out and you establish the garden spot. Amen? You don't just start tilling up wherever, you establish the garden spot. Well, back in 1982, I had a garden spot established. This heart became a garden for the Word of God. This heart became soil that the seed of the kingdom of heaven could be sown in. When did your heart get established as a garden spot for the Word of God? What year did you get born again? What year did you get saved and Jesus Christ become your Lord and Savior? God established my heart. How about you? Is your heart a garden spot for the Word of God where it in turn grows and produces fruit? Amen? And I shared this a couple of Wednesdays ago, and I want to share it again. I get a little fiery sometimes, and I feel it coming on. I might get a little fiery. I hear people every once in a while say, "Well, I don't have enough faith. I don't know if I have enough faith." But I never hear Christians say, "Well, I don't know if I have enough doubt." Most Christians are convinced they have enough doubt, but they're not convinced they have enough faith. And I just shared this on a Wednesday night. It came up kind of strong. Can I get a show of hands? How many people in here have been born again for over 5 years? Okay. How many have been born again for over 10 years? How many have been born again for over 15? 20? 25, 30, 35. You know what? Hands in this place were up. There were years. Dorothy wants me to keep going. How many have been? 40 years.
I
don't know. 1949. Well, let's do some math. That's 50, 60, 70. 70 years, Dorothy. This is what I want you to catch. I can look back and I got 38 years. And during that 38 years, you know, I'm not going to allow the enemy to tell me that I don't have faith. Because I can just look back over the last 38 years of my life. Some of you can look back over the 40 years or 45 years or 70 years or 25 years or 5 years. And you could go, you know what I've been doing for those years? I've been giving to the least of these. I've been going to church and being faithful. I've been serving here. I've been praying for people. I've been reading my word. You know what? You do have faith. You are a garden spot for God's word. You've been reading your Bibles. You've been letting God's word get sown in your heart, man. Glory to God. You know, and you ought to get, it just starts rising up in me. I would like all of you to get, you know, just a little bit aggressive. I'd like all of you to get a little bit aggressive. Amen? Because you got faith. And it will be tested. And the enemy will come at it. But you have faith. God's word has been sown in your heart. And it is growing. And you're just going to do what David did. You're going to look in your past. And you're going to say to the giant, "You remember the lion? I do. I took him out." You remember the week when I served at VBS? Yeah, I got faith. You remember what? I remember it. See, that's what it is. We look into our past and we see those places of faith and we don't forget it and we use it to keep going when times get tough and times get hard. Amen? And we ought to be good at looking in our past and remembering what God has done for us and remembering how we've got to work with Him and how He has worked through us. I tell this to Ann. Some people are going to think I'm conceited, but we've had conversations when we're getting hit and when you start to wonder and you start to doubt. And I said, honey, the world needs people like you and me. And that's true for you. The world needs people like you. The world needs people who have been faithful at their job for 20, 30 years and let the light shine. Let the love of God flow through them. Amen? And yeah, your job is a secular job, but your life is not a secular life. Your life is a heavenly life. Your life is a godly life. Amen? Hallelujah. And we ought to just get a little bit tenacious. We ought to just get a little bit, yeah! Yeah! I am a child of God. Yeah! He does love me. Yeah! I am the righteousness of God. Yeah! His word is growing out of me. Yeah! Fruit is being produced from my life. Yeah! Amen? You know, sometimes you got to stir yourself up. Hallelujah. It's just crazy how this can happen, though. Okay, we had VBS. And I don't know how to say that, so I won't even try. But we had an illustration. And I had all the helpers, all the adult helpers, and we got in a line right across here. Right across here, and we lined up, and they didn't know what was coming. And all the children for VBS were over there on that side. And Tay-Tay was sitting over here on this chair. And Tay-Tay got to be God. And she loved it. Didn't mind at all. She was so happy. And now the rest of us, I'm not sure how we felt about this, but we all got to be sin. And all the kids were over there. And sin was in between. And then I told the kids, try to get through here. And I found one little boy. I knew he wouldn't mind. And I got him and I said, okay, you go ahead. You try to get through here. And he comes up, and I take and I push him down. Yeah, I do. I push him right down on the ground. He's a little bit shocked, and the rest of them are a little bit shocked, but I go, you know what? Sin ain't nice. Sin is mean. And a few more would try. And a few more would try. And boy, then all of a sudden, all 16, maybe all 19 of them got aggressive. And it's interesting. People do this. One little boy tried running through the chairs. He did. He tried going that way. You know, there's people trying to get into heaven another way. Trying to leave sin in place and get in heaven another way. Doesn't work. There's one way. That's Jesus. So I'm doing that, and it's kind of a spontaneous thing, and I'm being a little aggressive. I'm being kind of, you know, not putting up a lot of guff and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, and the thing gets over, and pretty soon, you know, I shared with the kids, there's one thing tougher than sin. That's Jesus. All the sin just moved out of the way. Because Jesus took it out of the way. And those kids just, they surrounded Tay-Tay. They just wrapped every arm around her. And they just, sin is out of the way and we can be with God. Glory. And I had to zip right away because I wanted to help Scott. He mowed grass. He was mowing grass out for the VBS. And I zipped out right away. And early the next morning, I sent a text to Lily. The enemy started hammering me during the night that I was too gruff, too abrupt, just left too fast, all of these things. And I kept having this thought run through my head. Lily's upset with you. She's upset with you. And I sent her that text early in the morning, and I didn't hear back for about 4 hours. She was busy. How many of you know you send somebody a text and you're kind of sticking an apology in there and hoping I didn't do anything wrong and you don't hear back? It makes it even worse. Yeah. Just makes it even worse. So I'm like, oh. Well, finally I came up with another reason to send her a text. And I sent her a text. And she answered that one and then she said, oh, by the way, Pastor, that illustration you gave last night when Tay-Tay got just engulfed by those kids, That's a moment I won't forget for the rest of my life. Can you see how sneaky the enemy can be? She was radically blessed by it. But the enemy was trying to use it to beat me up. Sometimes, guys, we just got to get aggressive and not let the enemy use his lies and tricks to beat us up. Amen? And he won't always confront us in the big things. Sometimes he'll just gnaw away at the little things and catch the little foxes. Catch the little foxes that eat the tender grapes and spoil the vine. You got to catch those little things. Just, we got to be aggressive sometimes. We got to watch out for stuff that's coming at us. Amen? Whether it be big or whether it be small. And it's already 4 minutes to 11. Page one. Right there. Oh, I promise you, I will not go. But it's been good. Amen. God, I thank you for this day and the time we've had. If you all think I'm quitting and doing a closing prayer right now, you're crazy. Not quite yet. Maybe I should have, though. You were going to go for it. I just want to say a few things here. I wanted to plant the seeds of healing today. Just to plant some seeds of healing. How many of you in your garden got different rows? You got different rows. I was talking to Amber, right? Amanda. I don't know why Amber keeps coming out when it's Amanda. As soon as I said it, I knew I was wrong. She sent me some pictures of her garden. I'll probably put them up for you next Sunday, and then I'll put up my flower garden. But I'll describe them to you now. Hers is absolutely gorgeous. There are zero weeds in it. Plants that are growing are some about this tall. She was talking about the potatoes and this about this big already, and I don't know how high they are and got different things. Yeah, about in here coming off of this right here. You know, so I said, send me some pictures, and she did. Just a beautiful garden. And you should see my flower garden. It's been weeded. Yeah. Didn't sound right either when it came out. Weeded it. Thank you, Jim. It's been weeded. It seems like it ought to be weeded in. It just seems like it should be. Anyway, I went out in the garden one time and pulled out weeds. One time. Didn't plant any additional flowers this year. Just the ones that would come up from last year. You know what? There's a radical difference between her garden and my garden. One's going to produce. The other one's a little bit iffy. One looks really good. The other one not so good. And see, folks, the same thing's true of our life. We have different rows where we plant different things. And to plant healing. How many of you know it's God's will for you to be healed? It's God's will for you to be healed. Take and turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. You can find this in three of the Gospels, this phrase, but we're going to look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I'll just start reading at verse 1. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. This is the first seed of healing I want you to plant in your garden. And maybe you're watering it. Maybe you've already planted it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was gone. What was Jesus willing? I am willing. Say this with me. He is willing. So many times people will go, if it's the Father's will. Can I share with you something? It is the Father's will for you to be healed. See, there's some things we just settle them right away. Maybe they don't seem like a big deal. But it is the Father's will for you to be healed. Jesus Christ said, I am the scripture says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Since he was willing on this day for this man to be healed, guess what? He's willing on this day for you to be healed because he does not change. He is the Lord God. He changes not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I have planted a seed in my garden. And that is God is willing for me to be healed. It is the Father's will for me to be healed. The devil can't say if it's God's will. You know why he can't say that to me and get anywhere with it? Because I know God's will. God is willing. God is willing. God is willing for me to be healed. And I want to say this. Someone will say, well, why didn't so-and-so get healed? And you know what I'm going to tell you? I don't know. I don't know the circumstance in everybody's life. But I do know this. Did you know that God doesn't get everything he wants? Usually when I say that, I get some looks. I get some different responses. And not so much here at our church because I've been saying it for a long time. But did you know God does not get everything he wants? I'll prove it to you real fast. How many of you do everything he wants you to? There's no hands going up. So are we all admitting that we don't do everything he wills for us to do? So he doesn't get everything he wants? Why not? Why don't you do everything he wants you to do? Interesting, isn't it? Too busy. Other things are more important. Da, 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 da. But he doesn't get everything he wants. Did you know that that teaching and that thinking, it would really raise havoc with a lot of believers? Because, you know, a lot of believers believe that God's in control of everything. Everything that happens on the face of God's, everything that happens on the face of this earth is God's will. That cannot be true. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yet every day, people die and spend eternity in hell. And that is not the Father's will. He doesn't get everything he wants. But I'm determining to do this in my life. God, I want you to get everything you will. I want to be obedient to your will, Father. I want to submit to you. I'm not the only one, am I? There's a whole bunch of you in here. That's your attitude, right? That's your determination. That's your intent. I want to be submitted to the will of the Father and do everything he wants me to do. And he is willing that I be healed. He is willing that I be healed. That's his will. Glory to God. Amen. Let's just look at a few more scriptures along these lines to verify that and to go with it. Take, if you would, please, and go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 5. Or 5 and 3. I don't think it's 5. I think it's 15. John chapter 14. Oh, yeah, John chapter 5. Is that what I said? John chapter 5, good. I said it right. My notes are wrong. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 19, talking about Jesus. And then, since you're in John, I'm just going to quote from... in John chapter 14, the disciples are talking to Jesus, and, you know, Jesus said he's going to his Father, and, you know, and the disciples said, well, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long, Philip? Do you not realize, do you not know, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Did you know when you know Jesus, you know the Father? When you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Over in Hebrews, it says that Jesus Christ is the exact image. One translation puts it this way. Jesus Christ is the exact thumbprint of God in this world. I was listening to Lori Steinhauer do her teaching, and it was fingerprints and the thumbprint of God. And it's so cool, these crazy ideas that they come up with just blows me away. But they just took their thumbprint, put it in the ink, and then put it on a balloon. And then blew the balloon up. And so here's this big old thumbprint on a balloon. You know? But that, look at, did you know your thumbprint is unique? Nobody else has one just like that. And Jesus Christ, when you see his thumbprint, that is the exact thumbprint of God. When you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. You want to know what the Father's will is? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus and you can find out the Father's will. Did you know in Jesus' ministry, not one time did somebody walk up to him and say, Jesus, I would like you to heal me. And he looked at him and said, no, it is not God's will for you to be healed. Now leave and stay sick. He never said that one time. Not one time. Amen? Why? Because that's not the Father's will. That's not the Father's will. The Father's will is for you to be healed. The Father's will is for you to be healthy. The Father's will is for you to be whole. Do you know the two things that seem to, there's a few other things, but two of the major things that will rob Christians from being able to carry out the Father's will? There's two of them. I find it interesting. Lots of times, sickness and disease. And another one is lack of finances. Those two things will hinder a lot of people from carrying out the will of the Father. Amen? I tell you what, I want God's will to be done in my life. Y'all doing okay? All right, John chapter 5, verse 19. And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. What did Jesus do? Jesus did what the Father showed him. That's it. He did what the Father's will was. So if you want to have a picture of what God's will is for your life, just take a good look at Jesus. Amen? So here's one of the seeds, one of the first seeds I want to plant. God, you want me healed. Amen? God, you want me well. God, you want me whole. Amen? Y'all doing okay? You got really quiet on me. Is that okay that you got really quiet on me? Is it kind of like what the one fellow said to me down at Rushville one time when everybody was so quiet? Quiet sometimes makes preachers nervous. Just so you know, sometimes it makes me nervous. But this one guy down at Rushville, it was real quiet that Sunday. And, I said, man, I wouldn't mind a little feedback. And this guy raised his hand and says, Pastor, my mama taught me not to talk with my mouth full. And right now, my mouth is full of good food, so I'm just being quiet. Okay, all right. Amen. Hallelujah. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you want to know the Father's will, now just take that and put that on the inside of you. How many of you are healthy right now? How many of you, you're going, I'm good right now. I don't need any healing in my body. I'm good right now. Tuck this away. Tuck this away, because see, what I'm talking about is a garden spot. I'm talking about planting seeds and watering seeds and letting them grow. Why? So they produce the kingdom of heaven. And I want to let you know that the kingdom of heaven is not full of sickness and disease. Amen? The kingdom of heaven, God's will for us, is health. So what am I doing? I'm planting healing. I got me a row of healing going. And I got me a row of healing growing. And you know what? I've had some marvelous opportunities in my life to have something other than healing. But I just like to grab a hold of a little bit of healing every now and again, because that's His will for me, to have that. Now, I'm gonna give you some scriptures real fast. Oh, gosh. Actually, do this with me. Go to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Psalms 103, yeah. Yep, Psalms 103. I'll try to quit this as fast as I can. Why am I going to try to quit it as fast? I'm going to take all the time I want. I'm going to wait till the Holy Ghost says I'm done. Amen? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to not give in to being that people pleaser. Because how many of you know that's I am? I am a people pleaser. I want to please people, and so I'll let them get out of church early. Sometimes against the Father's will. Shame on me. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What are we told here to do? Forget not all His benefits. Why are we told not to forget His benefits? What happens when you forget His benefits? You don't get benefited. Amen. You forget about them. And you don't get benefit. You don't get to enjoy the abundance and the blessing of those benefits. Forget about them. People just forget about Him. Forget not all His benefits. Do you think you want His benefits? I do. I want all those benefits. If God has given me a benefit, I want it, and so do you. Turn and look at somebody and say, you want all of His benefits. Turn and look at someone else and say, I want all of His benefits. Not only am I not going to forget them, I'm going to learn them. I'm going to know what they are. I'm going to know what those benefits are. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who does what? Forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all of your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things that your youth may be renewed like the eagle. I will not forget His benefits. I will not forget any of them, and I'm going to keep learning. And here's one of them. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. I love the fact that healing and forgiveness are right here tied together. Tied together. As much as it's God's will for you to be forgiven, it's God's will for you to be healed. Amen? They're both equally the same. And they both were provided for us through the same person, Jesus Christ. By His stripes, ye were healed. Through the shedding of His blood was the forgiveness of your and my sin. Amen? Now, go back over with me to Psalms 107, and then I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah 55:11. We might quit with these. What am I doing this morning? Preaching. I'm also working in my garden. I'm also working in your garden. And you invited me in. Did you know that? How many of you know you invited me into your garden? You know how I know you invited me into your garden? You showed up in here today. You said, Pastor, come on in. Talk to me. Help me work in my garden. Amen? You know, sometimes my job is to help pull weeds. That's my job sometimes. People don't like it when I pull weeds sometimes. Amen? But that's part of my job, pull some weeds. You invited me in, man. I'm not going to be rude and stay out. Willis Dunnick said to me one time, says, Pastor, just anytime anyone has come into the door of that church, you have a right to talk into their lives and speak into their lives, and they invited you to do so. So do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We looked at this earlier. I just want to look at it again. Psalms 107, verse 6, or verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. Thank you, God. Verse 20. And He sent His word and did what? He sent His Word and did what? Healed them. He sent His Word and He healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for the wonderful works, for His wonderful works to the children of men. I think it's interesting. Is there a wonderful work of God that is specifically listed in the verses we've just read? Which one is it? He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word. Did you know healing is a wonderful work of God? And if we stop and think about the price that was paid for that wonderful work, how many of us in here have ever watched the Passion of the Christ? How many have watched one scene where Jesus is being beaten more than once? How many of you watched it once and that was enough? It's like, I can't watch that again. I couldn't either. I went about 15 years and I watched it again this past Easter. It was the second time I was able to do it because the price that He paid. For what? For yours and my healing. Healing is a wonderful work of God. You know, I want to tell you it's fun. It's fun. You're down in Pine Ridge. You're playing a basketball game. And your daughter, who's a pretty doggone good basketball player, and it's a tough game, rolls her ankle bad. I'm up off the bleachers. Rolled it bad. People on the other side of the grandstands laughed. That didn't go well with me. But I'm got a hold of my daughter pretty quickly, and we're in the hall, and we're walking. And you know what we're doing? By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. You know what's happening in a few minutes? My daughter's back out on the court. She's back out there playing again. Why? I'll tell you what, that's fun to do. It's fun to have a row of healing in your garden spot. And it's fun to be able to reach into the garden and to grab a hold of some healing and say, here, sweetie, this is yours. And then thank God for her determination and her fight. And she's back out there after it. Well, that's fun as a parent. That's a fun thing to be able to do, is to have that fruit growing. Praise God. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declaring His works and rejoicing. This lady, she was praying and 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 asking for healing and praying and asking for healing and praying and praying and praying. And then one night she had a little mini vision. And in the vision she saw a scale. You know the old type of scale, like where for the law. And you got a round thing here and three chains coming down on each side. And you put weights on each side to tilt it. And in hers, this one side was prayer. It was all the way down. On the other side was praise and thanks. It was way up in the air. And the Spirit of God said to her, the moment your thanks and praise balances out your prayer, your healing will happen. That lady went to praising and thanking God. When? When she was healed? No, at the word of the Lord. And she went to praising Him and praising Him and praising Him and praising Him. And it didn't take her very long at all to get that scale leveled out. And boom. Healing was hers. What's this verse of Scripture say here? Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I thank God for healing. I thank God for healing when I'm whole, and I thank God for healing when I'm in the middle of something. I give the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I'm not going to just wait till the manifestation of the healing shows up. I'm going to thank Him for it all the time. Amen? I'm going to thank Him for all kinds of stuff all the time. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice. I tell you what, this is where a lot of people fall short. They're not giving thanks enough. I'm pulling a few weeds now. You want greater fruit in your life? Start thanking God more. Start praising God more. Start remembering the wonderful works of God more. Start giving Him praise. Praise and thanks ought to be coming out of your mouth every day of your life. And just go to the simple fact that when Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you get to spend eternity in heaven! Woohoo! You guys, what do you guys think? What's one of the biggies that I praise God for every day? David is standing in the back going, well, you know what? I think it's true. I think I do praise God for David almost every day of my life. I know I praise God for my wife every day of my life. What are you praising God for on a regular basis? This is part of the Father's will. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Here we go. We're going to quit. Are you open to Isaiah 55? And are you still open to Psalms 107? Be open to both of them and just be able to flip back and forth. I'm quitting with these two verses, I promise you. Psalms 107. He sent his word and healed them. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your heart? I can tell you what's going on in my heart. He sent his word and healed me. Why did he send his word? To heal me. Why did he send his word? To heal me. Why did he send his word? To heal me. And his word will do what? But it shall accomplish what he pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing for which he sent it. Well, you want to know why he sent his word? To heal you. It shall prosper in the thing for which he sent it. It shall not, I'm going to be bound and determined in just something. Here's what will happen. God's word won't return void. It'll accomplish what he desires. How many of you remember God doesn't always get what he wants? How many of you remember there's a thief out there who comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy? And you know what? Well, you got to fight to hang on to this. You got to get a little bit aggressive. You can't just let every old thought that runs into your head have place. It was wrong of me, and I'm glad it didn't last any longer than it did to have that silly thought run through my head. Lily's upset with you. She's mad at you. She didn't like the way you were. She didn't like what you said. She didn't like the way you carried yourself. And yet when she responds in a text, she said it blessed her and is going to stick with her the rest of her life. You know, one of the things we talk about in this church a lot is exhorting each other and building each other up and encouraging each other. We need to do that when it comes to healing, and we just need to do that in general. Every once in a while, just out of the blue, give somebody a phone call and say, I love you. Your children are so cool. I admire your marriage. I look up to you. I respect you. I thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Father, I don't know where everybody's at with salvation. And I'm not just going to take for granted or assume that everybody who is in this building is born again. Not going to do that, God. But just like the illustration, Father, with the children, if sin is in the road, Jesus is greater than sin and takes it out of the way. If you're in this building today and you have never had Jesus remove the sin of your life, you can today. He already did it on the cross. You simply need to reach out and accept him and acknowledge him and thank him for what he has done and let him be the Lord and the Savior of your life. And if you've never done that, I would encourage you to do that. Father, so that the Holy Spirit would work on us. And if there's anybody in this building and they've never said yes to Jesus, today they would. Today they would. Today, when it's time to come up to the altar, they would come up here and they would pray with someone and they would say yes to Jesus, and they would be born again. And then, Father, for healing in people's bodies. Healings in people's bodies. And let us not just put up with stuff. Let us not put up with stuff. Sometimes we put up with stuff so long, we just accept it as part of our life, and yet that is not your plan, God. That's not your plan, to tolerate and to put up with stuff. I thank you, Father, for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.